Savior I stand. Will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the blessed in those mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Oh, what joy it will be when his face I behold, living gems at his feet to lay down. It would sweeten my bliss in that city of gold, should there be any stars in my crown. Will there be any stars, when at evening the sun goeth down, when I wake with the bliss in those mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? I'm sorry, I went from the soprano to the bass line there a few times, but best I could do.
I do have a desire for your prayers as I stand here a little while. If you have your Bibles tonight and you'd like to open them up and follow with me as I read, I'll be reading from the second chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 8, which is very, very familiar scripture. I don't know that this scripture here, these verses of the verse 8 and verse 9 is quoted and read as much as John 3:16. They're used quite often. So I will begin at the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember," verse 11, Paul's here trying to stir up their minds a little bit. Remember? Remember when you was a heathen? That's what Gentiles were considered. And that's who Paul is talking to right now. You know, we think of heathens in today's society. It might be somebody that's really wild or not raised in the right way. They're really uncivilized, and you may consider them and call them heathens. Well, heathens were those that were the nations that wasn't of the Jewish nation. The Jews considered all Gentiles that wasn't of the bloodline of the Jews, they called them heathens. And there were so many of them that we know that were pagan worshipers. So we can call them heathens. That's what they were. And it says, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Those that were heathens, those that were the Gentiles, the pagan worshipers, they did not. Paul is telling the truth here. They had no hope because they did not serve and believe in the true and living God. They did not believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So they had no hope without God in the world. But he goes on in verse 13, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall," or the partition between us, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make it himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which was afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father." Now he's talking about the Jewish believers in Christ, and he's also talking about the Gentiles. And he said that, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." So they are considered now, these that were pagan worshipers, these at Ephesus, they had believed in the word of God and they had been saved. And Paul is sort of stirring up their remembrance of who they were, what they were, and what they are today. That they are able to be in the family of God, that they are joint heirs with Christ. We were Gentiles, but because of God's amazing grace, we are saved through faith, and we become joint heirs with Christ. And just some of the thoughts that I want to talk about here a little bit was those scriptures that we talked about, being saved by grace, verses 8 and 9, they're very familiar to us, but sometimes we need to go on and read a little bit more in those scriptures and learn a little bit more about them. Now, Ephesus. Now, the church here at Ephesus, in this letter, this epistle that Paul wrote, was to the Ephesians. But in day's time, Ephesus was one of the bigger cities in Asia Minor. And it had a great port, a lot of trade come in and out of Ephesus. And not only that, I understand and read about it, and we'll go back over here in the Acts and read a little bit more. But we think that Ephesus was a place of pilgrimage for tourists and worshipers. Now, I said that they were pagan worshipers. Now, Paul had come in his second missionary journey. He had stopped at Ephesus, and he was there just for a short period of time, and he left. But on his third time, his journey, he stayed there and really spent some time there, 2 or 3 years that he spent time. And what was he doing there? He was preaching the word of God. And Ephesus had a huge population, and there was many of those that was being converted. Now, there's something we need to think about, and we will go back and read over here in Acts that there was a huge temple there. And the temple was the temple of Diana, which was a goddess that they worshipped. She was the goddess of fertility. And there are so many people there that came to worship with her here at Ephesus. Of course, we know that she was a false goddess. But still, that's the way pagan worshipers worship. They worship goddesses and gods that can do nothing for them. Not like we can with the true living God that we worship and serve. Now, it says the temple there that ancient writers says that it was 4 times the size of what the Parthenon was in Athens. That's a pretty good sized building, pretty good sized temple. And you think of all the people that it held. And we go back over here in Acts, like I said, that I wanted to come over here and read, that Paul had been about preaching, and there were so many of those that were getting saved. And there was a tradesman there that was a silversmith, and not just him, but there was others, and their livelihood depended on them making images and false images and shrines of silver. And they made a good living doing that. But they got concerned about their livelihood because Paul had come in and was doing so much preaching that those that had no hope that we read about, those that had pagan worship, that they were being converted. There was many souls being saved, and with many souls being saved, they wasn't worshiping Dinah no more, and they evidently wasn't going to the temples, and the silversmiths were even losing money because since they were serving the true and living God, they wouldn't bind the shrines or wouldn't bind the false gods and stuff that were being made by their hands. And in verse 24, chapter 19, talks about Demetrius. It says, "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the worksmen of the like occupation, said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying they be no gods which are made with hands." Now, something that Paul done, and we'll go in here and we'll learn a little bit more as we read further, that Paul had two traveling companions, and they caught them, and the multitude there that still worshiped Diana, they were really upset with Paul and was upset because of their livelihood. And down here in the verse 35, there was a man. Well, he don't say his name. He was a town clerk. Well, let me go up to verse 33. He says, "And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of a great goddess Diana in the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought not to be quiet and to not, excuse me, let me start that over. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of the churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess." And they say here, churches, we should really be talking about temple, because I understand that there was great riches within this temple of Diana. But Paul, when he came into Ephesus and done the preaching that he preached, he done a positive preaching. He didn't preach against Diana. He didn't preach against their false worshiping that was going on. But he did preach the true word of God. And by doing that, those people, as I said, that was there of Ephesus, was being converted. And it says, "For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor blasphemers of your goddess." So that's what he was saying. These men have nothing really done wrong that you want to accuse them for, except for preaching God's word. So I just want to think about of these verses that I've read about. "For by grace are you saved through faith." So often that these scriptures are read, but a lot of times we don't know where Paul was coming from and where these the things are being addressed, because we don't really get into the history of the word and studying the word, that we need to understand that who Paul is talking to and what went on during this time of his missionary journeys. It talked about the size of that temple that I've already told you about, and my understanding that it's even recorded as one of the seven wonders of the world, that it was that popular and that huge that it became the seven wonders of the world. And what I want you to think about, you know, Paul was stirring up their minds in a way of remembrance about who they were. And I think that's something we need to think about. We need to think about who we were. We had no hope. We were Gentiles. We were born in this world separated from God. Just as these that Paul had talked about, and these that was being addressed. You know, for that through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. By the grace of God we have access through him. I'm so thankful that when Christ went to the cross and died at Calvary, and he said that, you know, as he was leaving, being ascended up into heaven, that he was going to leave with the Comforter. I'm so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit of God that comes in and deals with our hearts. That's who dealt with me. I have never seen Jesus Christ personally, and none of you have. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God had dealt bountifully with my heart and convicted me. And every one of us been saved were dealt with the same way. Now, our salvation experience might be different. Where we were, what we were doing, whatever the preacher said, but whatever it is, our hearts were pricked at some time or another. I remember how my heart was pricked. I remember how my soul was stirred up. And God let me know that I was lost and separated from him. Ain't you glad that he is no respecter of persons? That as we was reading about the Jews and that it wasn't just them? You know, it's sad that there's so many Jews out there today that still don't believe that the Messiah has ever come. But we do have Christian Jews. We have Jews that have been saved by the grace of God. But aren't you glad that God was no respecter of persons, that when Jesus went to the cross, that he died for all of us, Gentile and Jew? I'm so thankful that I was able to hear the gospel. I was so thankful that I was able to come in and hear Brother Moran preach the word of God. I know several of you maybe was that you wasn't raised up in this church, and maybe you wasn't saved during the time of attending this church, that you came from sister churches somewhere else. But ain't you glad that no matter where you was at and whatever preacher was preaching and whatever church you was at, that God convicted your hearts? That's what he done here. It says, now therefore, you are no more strangers. You know, there was a time that we were strangers. We was no different than these Gentiles in Ephesus. We was no different as being the foreigners. But what are we now? Paul tells them that they're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Yeah. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, the fifthly frame together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are built together for a habitation of God through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. through the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's awful difficult sometimes to explain the Godhead, and Brother Moran has preached on that many times, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Three different, but yet they're one. And the scriptures tell us that there was nothing created without Jesus, that he was with God the Father doing that. And it talks about in John that without him nothing was created. He was there at the beginning of time. And I might be a little scattered here tonight, but I think it's important that we think about the things that Paul has written to these, the Ephesians, these Gentiles, these that were those that was without hope. Paul told them, you were without hope. We were without hope. I know this message is going to be a little short tonight. Wasn't planning on standing tonight, but I tried to get home and try to study and meditate just a little bit about these things and about the Ephesians here, and these verses are so popular and important, the verse 8 and 9. They're quoted so often, but I just felt like maybe we just need to go a little bit further and explain a little bit who Paul was talking about and who these Gentiles really were and what their life was before they were saved by grace through faith. We all came the same way. And you know, in verse 9 it talks about it's not of works. How many of us even that have come to the altar when we were lost and seeking after the Lord, that would say, well, Lord, we'll do this, or we might do that if you would just save us. Made promises. Lord, I promise you if you just save me, I will do this and do that. And I've made mention before, you know, that, you know, when you make a promise sometimes it's hard to hold up that promise. There's circumstances that comes along in our lives that maybe the promise we made, we couldn't keep it. What if God was saving people on their promises and then you couldn't keep that promise? Would you lose your salvation? But God didn't set it up that way. That wasn't God's plan. What was God's plan? How did you get saved by his grace and through faith? Because it's through repentance. And it's through faith. Repentance toward God and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we got to be the joint heirs of God. I don't have anything else to say. I feel like what I've said tonight is truth. It's the word of God, and I don't care if a preacher stands up here and he's long-winded and wants to preach for an hour and a half or 2 hours, if he comes up here and he preaches for 30 minutes. As long as he preaches the word of God and preaches truth, that's all right. So I'm not making any excuses for maybe this short message, but I appreciate each one of y'all coming. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate your prayers as always, and I just want to let you know that I love you as my brothers and sisters. I love this church. I love what this church stands for. And as this morning, as I preach, that's why the message I feel like was laid on my heart like it was, because I love this body of people. I love the church, and I want it to prosper. I want God's word to go out. I want the truth to continue on. And Brother Moran and Brother Curtis, as we traveled around and we go to different churches and preaching revivals or helping revivals or visiting or preaching special appointments, it's sad of the churches of how small they've gotten. And some of the churches have gone out of existence. They don't exist no more. Because It died out. I look through our old directory, and I go through and I've counted those that we've lost through the years, and it's sad. It's really sad. But you know what? They held on. They held on to the truth. And that's what we got to do as the church right now. We got to continue to hold on to the truth that this church would stand and still be standing. This building, I know, but Fairview Memorial is a separate church, but it says the Lord's church will still be standing. And we're talking about saved people, baptized believers. We know when Christ comes back that his church is still going to be here on earth. But I hope that Fairview Memorial, that this body, I know that we will, so many of us will die and pass on, but I'm hoping that there will be people coming in, that this church and this work will continue on. But it's not happening other places. We're supporting, and I'll say this, I talked to Sister Bailey, Kathy Bailey, just not long ago, and they're down at Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Arkansas, and they're without a pastor right now, and they need our prayers, and she told us how much she appreciated the support that we give them, and she started crying, and she said, "We can't give up, Brother Buddy." Now, that her husband and her daughter and her daughter's children and her daughter's husband are about right now the only ones attending, and that's sad. And she's got two daughters that are accountable and that are lost. And she says, "Buddy," she said, "we can't quit." She says, "We got to keep keeping on as much as we can." She said, "We can't close these doors. We got to try to keep them open." Now, Brother Curtis, I think, has been down through there. I think he even said that he went down there when that church was organized. I think he mentioned that at one time. And I don't know if Brother Moran ever made it or not. But it's sad because if you drive down there and you drive around in that area, there are so many churches that has the Missionary Baptist name on it. But there ain't none of them sound. So we need to pray for Hope that they even, the Lord will send a man to them to stand behind their pulpit, and that pray for that little church, pray for her granddaughters, that they might be saved. But church, we got to keep on keeping on, and we can't give up. We got to continue to run the race. Thank you for coming, and I didn't intend saying all that, but I just, sometimes we take it for granted what we've got here. We're blessed. We are. We're blessed here at Fairview Memorial. Is there anything on anybody's heart before we dismiss?